They came to Philadelphia in the key battleground state of Pennsylvania. They shook hands and then, over 100 minutes, they went into verbal battle. Kamala Harris pursued a tactic of goading, needling, baiting the former president. He was advised by his people to chase her on the Biden record. Donald Trump didn't get to that until close to the end of the debate. So how do they do, and do they manage to move the dial? They're neck and neck in the polls. Kamala Harris, late to the presidential election campaign, has enjoyed an early glow, rapidly filling coffers and getting a sympathetic media. But has that glow begun to fade as Trump supporters stay loyal to the former president? And going into the final lap of this campaign, is it all about the independents, the undecideds and a handful of states? Let's have a listen again to some of last night's debate.
The ABC News presidential debate starts right now.
Let's have a good debate.
Nice to see you. Have fun.
Thank you.
You will see during the course of his rallies, he talks about fictional characters like Hannibal Lecter. He will talk about windmills cause cancer. And what you will also notice is that people start leaving his rallies early out of exhaustion and boredom.
People don't leave my rallies. We have the biggest rallies, the most incredible rallies in the history of politics. That's because people want to take their country back. What they have done to our country by allowing these millions and millions of people to come into our country, a lot of towns don't want to talk about it because they're so embarrassed by it. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there had been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
Well, I've seen people on television.
Let me just say, there's no evidence of that. Vice President Harris, I'll let you respond to the rest of what you've heard.
You talk about extreme.
Would you support any restrictions on a woman's right to an abortion?
I absolutely support reinstating the protections of Roe v. Wade. Nowhere in America is a woman carrying a pregnancy to term and asking for an abortion. That is not happening. It's insulting to the women of America.
I have been a leader on fertilization, IVF. You should ask, will she allow abortion in the 8th month, 9th month, 7th month?
Come on.
Because
DeVito,
under Roe v. Wade,
you could
do abortions in the 7th month, the 8th month, the 9th month,
not true.
And probably after birth.
World leaders are laughing at Donald Trump.
Let me just tell you about world leaders. Viktor Orban, one of the most respected men, they call him a strong man. He's a tough person. They said, why is the whole world blowing up? 3 years ago it wasn't. Why is it blowing up? He said, because you need Trump back as president. They were afraid of him. If I were president, Russia would have never, ever, I know Putin very well, have gone into Ukraine and killed millions of people when you add it up. Far worse than people understand what's going on over there. She hates Israel.
I said then, I say now. Israel has a right to defend itself. We would. And how it does so matters. It must end immediately, and the way it will end is we need a ceasefire deal and we need the hostages out.
And here's a flavour of what some Democrat and Republican voters thought of the debate afterwards.
I think that the most ridiculous things that I heard out of Donald Trump's mouth were around babies being executed at 9 months. I think that's absolutely insane, and we know that that's not a fact. And he's a fear monger.
A lot of the questions were very unfair. I thought a lot of the moderators chimed in and really kind of ganged up on President Trump. I think Trump, when he had opportunities, delivered the case as to why the American people need to vote for him.
On policy, he was good, especially on health care, especially on the border. He got the points out that he needed to make that's going to communicate to most Americans that are aware that there is a decline going on. Kamala's strategy is more, let me say the right things to communicate to those low-information voters. There's a lot of rhetoric in that. When she starts talking about hopes and dreams and all this fluffy stuff, that's the low-information voters.
I don't think it moves the needle. I think it's unfortunate that it's going to come down to the 1% or 2% of people that at this point can't decide between him and her, because I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think it moved the needle on either side.
Professor Bob Schmuel, Emeritus Professor of American Studies at the University of Notre Dame, has stayed up into the early hours of the morning to talk to us, and you're welcome to Morning Ireland. It was entertaining, certainly, but how consequential for both candidates was this debate?
I think it was consequential, and I do think it's going to move the needle.
Donald Trump told reporters afterwards, "It was the best debate I've ever had." I somehow think that that might be a salesman's spiel to try to sell merchandise that has already been used. What I thought was that he was predictable. And by that I mean he appealed to his base, but the base has heard those lines over and over the past several months. And he needs to enlarge that base and get enough voters so that he would get close to a majority. And I'm not sure that that he was able to do that with all of the wild charges and, let's face it, the personal attacks that he lodged.
Kamala Harris had been advised and advised by people like Hillary Clinton, who's been there before, to goad Donald Trump, to needle him, to get under his skin. And what was surprising, perhaps, and despite all the debate prep that he's been through too, was that she succeeded and succeeded so well.
Succeeded rather easily, I think you might even say. The weak point, the place that triggers all of his emotions would be the size of his rallies. And to bring that up probably elevated his blood pressure by several points. And you'll note that it was kind of interesting that here is the person who's been on television for so many years, and yet visually he never came across in a way that was reassuring to the to a viewer. He always looked agitated. He always looked angry, while Harris was cool, would smile, shake her head, bob. Use the camera is what they would say in television. But she was very effective in bringing that in, and then he immediately goes off into the world of eating cats and dogs and things like that. And as I say, the base is used to that. People who go to the rallies are used to that, so that he is preaching to that choir. But we are in a very close presidential race where every vote counts in these battleground states, and you want to appeal to those who are undecided. I'm not sure the undecided wanted to go in his direction after the debate.
Kamala Harris has been accused of flip-flopping. She's been accused of that by Donald Trump, you know, on issues like fracking or funding of police, on the economy, and this question of putting money back into people's pockets. Did she succeed in explaining her changing positions?
She succeeded in diverting the question that was first asked for the debate about, are you better off? And she, instead of answering that, talked about various plans that she has for the future. So in that sense, I don't think she addressed the question or the issue that is on the mind of so many people. Whether or not that has a an impact, we'll have to wait and see. I thought it was interesting. After the debate, one of the people doing analysis said that people who were making donations early in the debate, that 70% of them were women. Now, that was largely because of the discussion of reproductive rights. But it's also interesting in this sense that they are a very heavy percentage of voters in this country. And if she is building up an even larger gender gap, that could bode well for her and ill for Mr. Trump.
Interesting, too, Bob, that after the debate, Donald Trump went to the spin room, something that doesn't normally happen. The candidate stays away. The surrogates are there to big them up. Did he do that, I wonder, because he felt this debate had not gone his way.
I think that's a good interpretation. That is how I would interpret it. That I speaking as Donald Trump, I need to get out there and make a positive statement that will clinch it in the minds of people who are going to be listening to it, and make the claim as strongly as I can that I really won. I thought it was interesting, and your clip right before sort of picked up on it, that those who really supported and support Donald Trump put blame on the moderators. It wasn't Donald Trump's performance. It was the moderators who dealt with him in a way that didn't allow him to get his message across as clearly and as effectively as possible. And I think we're going to see that over the next 24 to 48 hours.
She had that great glow around her when she replaced Joe Biden. The coffers, as I said earlier, were filling up for her, but that glow has faded. They are neck and neck. Did she do enough last night to get that back?
I think that she did enough to make people look again very closely at her. I think that was the objective of her speech at the convention in Chicago. Is she serious as the presidential candidate of the Democratic Party? She went over that hurdle. I think last night she faced another hurdle, and I think she went over it. A few weeks ago, we were talking about the phenomenon in America of double haters, people who were not happy with either Joe Biden or with Donald Trump. I think we've reached the point where we now have double questioners. People who have questions about Donald Trump and whether he should return to the White House, and questions about Kamala Harris, whether she is capable and someone who can grow into the office, can fill the office of president, whether she's presidential material. I think the next 50 days are going to decide both of those.
And are we more or less likely after last night to have another debate between them?
Well, I mean, there is talk, and we'll see. I'm not sure that the Trump people would want to do it. Why? Because many of the words of wisdom that they gave him, according to all the reports, he did not follow. So it did become a repeat of what he is saying on the stump and at rallies. So I'm not sure that that's going to break new ground. Whether the Harris campaign would want another debate, we'll see. I'd remind you there is a vice presidential debate on October 1st. I think that will get an enormous amount of attention because Walz and Vance are generating a lot of interest. So I think we should probably say stay tuned.
All right. And Professor Bob Schmuel, thank you very much indeed.